We are inching closer to sports betting in the state of Tennessee, and FanDuel Sportsbook is giving you an exclusive offer to get started. Right now, FanDuel Sportsbook is giving users $50 in free bets just for signing up. That's $50 in free site credit. All you got to do is download the app, register, and verify early. No deposit required. You just heard Nate on the commercial ad telling you the same thing. He's downloaded the app. I've downloaded the app. Many at the station have downloaded the app. Many listeners have downloaded the app because it's easy. It takes no time, and it gets you $50 in free site credit. Unlike other sports books, FanDuel will get you your cash when you win in as little as 24 hours because it's the right thing to do. So go now and download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Check it out for yourself. Just be sure to register using the promo code 3OUT so they know that we sent you. That's promo code 3OUT to get $50 in free site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook goes live in the state of Tennessee. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Davey, you posed the question. Does Tennessee suffer another 20-point loss this year? Do you have a prediction, or did you just want to posit the question and then let it linger?
I just wanted to posit it and see what people were thinking. Try not to be a neg of all and just kind of, I guess, get others' opinions on the matter. I mean, we did talk about it.
But do you think they do?
I'm sure they'll have one, yeah. I don't see the quarterback play getting better. I don't see them going to another quarterback.
I'm really hoping this bye week is used the right way. I mean, they said they're going back to fall camp style practice. Jeremy Pruitt said yesterday that fall camp is when you teach. It's when you develop. They are putting Bailey and Maurer in those night scrimmages with some of the younger players. Get them some reps. Get them caught up to speed with the offense. I'm really crossing my fingers here. Need to see another quarterback against Arkansas. I don't think Arkansas can beat you by 20. A&M has the capability. At this point, I don't think Auburn does. Auburn and Tennessee kind of remind me a lot of each other right now. Auburn's just been a little bit lucky. Vanderbilt, no. Florida, maybe. I will say Florida's defense being so bad. And again, my hope is that by, 6 weeks from now, we have a new quarterback.
I mean, I would say Florida just because Jeremy Pruitt's not gotten within 20 points of beating them.
Sure.
And like I said, they know how to put up points, and it doesn't really matter if the teams are even equal going into a game. We somehow just always seem to self-destruct.
Well, it seems like Garantano seems to always self-destruct. That's why I'm, again, fingers crossed for, if not against Arkansas.
Well, I wish.
Hopefully by, again, 6 weeks from now, we've got somebody different rolling out against the Gators. Because it's like Matt said, what are you playing for at this point? Are you playing to go 4-6? Is that why you're going to keep Garantano? Because you think he gives you the best chance to win two more games? Because if that's the case, just be done.
JG's going to play the Florida game.
No.
Yeah, he is.
No,
tweeted
no.
Tweeted about man. It, man.
That's exactly what I was going with. December 5th.
No. It was a bit. He had a road jersey on. No. Maybe that's the game he finally hangs it up. He's going to be watching the Florida game. He can't wait.
We're talking about scoring points. Jared sends this to us. Have you seen the GoVols Extra article that just came out? I mean, I'll just give him a shout out. You want to talk about a bold proposition?
I don't think it's play calls, man. I did see it. Should we demote Chaney and give T. Martin the play calling responsibility the rest of the way?
I think it's a terrible idea. I'm just saying that's what the article was, and that's what Jared said. He just said, please discuss. Tagged us in.
That is a struggling team bye week article, if I've ever seen one. That is a, hey, there's really not that much to talk about. Let's just throw out something wild. I don't think this is on Chaney.
No, I don't. I've bought into the idea that Chaney wants to put another quarterback out there and Pruitt's not letting him. That could be completely wrong, but I've at least seen Chaney be successful as an offensive coordinator. I haven't seen Pruitt be successful as a head coach, so I'm going to go with, I'm going to default on Chaney on this one.
Yeah, I just don't think it's not play calls. I mean, again, like, go back and look at the mistakes that are being made. It's not because the plays aren't there. It's because your quarterback staring down receivers and throwing it to the other team. I mean, those two interceptions against Kentucky, the protection was good, and he had guys wide open for first downs and touchdowns, and he just throws it to the other team. The first one, he looks right the whole way, when if he had looked left at all, he would have seen Jalen Hyatt wide open on the post for a touchdown and Josh Palmer wide open at the sticks for a first down. The second interception, the check down's right there. Eric Gray doesn't have anybody within 10 yards of him, and instead he floats it in there to Hyatt, and the linebacker undercut it. Those are not bad play calls. Sometimes the check down is the best play to take.
Sometimes Tom Brady made a career off of it.
Exactly. Sometimes staring down your receiver is not the play's fault, it's the player's fault. In fact, every time staring down a receiver is the player's fault. Like, you just can't do that. Especially when teams go zone, and especially when you are looking at the guy in motion the entire time and he runs a 4-yard route 30 yards away from the quarterback. Like, you can't throw that pass. It's not the play call. Play call worked. Play call's got people open.
Yeah, but like the three straight run drive comes to mind. Like there was, especially in the Alabama game, and I know it's Alabama, but it the play calling seemed like we just kind of rolled over and knew what was going to happen type deal.
I don't necessarily disagree with that, and I don't know where that comes from. Like, specific design of plays is obviously Chaney, but if Jeremy Pruitt's over there saying, hey, let's not make another mistake here, you know, he was close to getting sacked or whatever, like, maybe he just said, hey, let's just run it and let's see if we can move these guys around, and it didn't work out. And it's Bama, right? Like, they're just really good.
Yeah, no, it definitely has something to do with it.
I don't like gutless football. Even against really good teams when you know you don't have a shot to win. Like,
that's when you should be taking your shots.
Yeah, going back to Matt's point, like, that's when you need to try to instill some confidence in your team, let them make some plays, let them make some mistakes. But it felt like a little bit, and I could be wrong here, but that felt like a, hey, let's not allow JG to make mistakes so that we can roll him out against Arkansas. Let's let him have a pretty good game. We'll take a couple shots to Hyatt when we can, to Palmer when we can. But let's just not do anything crazy to let him throw a pick six. And then, of course, Eric Gray fumbles, and everyone's like, oh, look, Eric Gray. Oh, JG didn't have a pick. He didn't have a turnover. It was like a, hey, let's make him look as good as he possibly can look against Alabama. And then that way, if we have to start up against Arkansas, we could say, but look how he played against Alabama. Felt like a little bit of a CYA, right? Like, let's cover our bases moving forward so that if we don't have an option emerge, be it Maurer or Bailey before Arkansas, and we have to trot this guy out there, he has at least a decent game to point to the reason as to why he's the starter. I don't like that. I don't like that we're playing this safe, don't make mistakes, don't take risks.
It seems like we're trying to prevent ourselves from beating ourselves instead of making another team beat us. Like, we obviously saw we can beat ourselves. We saw it in Kentucky. We saw it in Georgia. Obviously, Alabama was Alabama. But it seems like we're just playing safe.
When you play not to lose, what usually happens?
You lose.
You got to play to win. Period. I don't know. Has Tennessee done that in a big game?
What, play
like
to win?
Like, for four quarters? Like, against a Georgia, against a Florida, against an Alabama? Have they played that game yet? Like, in the first half against Georgia, maybe in the second half? Maybe that's the problem. Like, you started trying to cut it loose a little bit, and JG was just getting pressured. Your offensive line wore down against Georgia's front. If you'd have been more conservative against Georgia, are you in that game a little bit longer? Is that what happened? I don't know. I'm just asking.
I mean, in the second half, yeah, if you just hand off three times and punt, yeah, you're in that game longer. But yeah, you're not going to win it, but at least you're not getting blown out.
Well, I'm just saying, like, did they try to do too much in the second half against Georgia, and that led to mistakes?
I don't think so.
I don't know. Like, he was back. I mean, he was taking deep drops. They were trying to go deep, and the offensive line was just getting whipped. But I mean, the Kentucky game, I have.
The only reason they scored in the first place was because they went deep.
Yeah, I mean.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, that's right. But they took their chances when they crossed the 50 both times.
Yeah, still behind.
I don't think that we get beat by nearly as much from Georgia because those two fumbles, our defense stayed strong and forced a field goal. It forced a three and out and a field goal and then forced one first down and a field goal off of those. So maybe our defense looks good off of a punt and saves some points, but that's only 6 points in the whole scheme of the 40 that they were able to score on us.
Right. I'm just saying, like, the two fumbles and the interception, like, they were all pass plays. So did Jeremy Pruitt see what happened when you tried to get a little, I don't want to say pass happy, but hey, this is a tight game. We're going to have to make some plays in the second half. We can't just grind Georgia out. And then you saw JG make mistakes. Maybe he thought, okay, the game's coming. It's on me now. They're going to call all these passes. And we know what happens when JG thinks it's all on him. That's when the ball goes to the other team. Like, he's not a guy that you can just cut it loose against an Alabama, a Georgia, or a Florida. You have to play really well on defense. Hope some guys can make some plays, but you can't let him throw it 35 times against those teams. You just can't. Against the Missouri? Yeah, sure. And then, but that's like the, two sides of the same sword. You tried to do that against Kentucky and open it up, and he threw it to the other team for touchdowns. Like, a more conservative game plan against Kentucky, yeah, maybe you don't throw those picks. Maybe you grind them out. You win kind of like Missouri did. It's a 20-10, 20-13 victory, and you're 3-2 instead of 2-3. I still think the Kentucky game, man, like, that's why everybody's frustrated. If you just win that game, I don't think anybody cares about second half of Georgia. I don't think anybody really cares about Alabama. You've kind of done what you were supposed to do. No, you haven't kept it close on the scoreboard. But with this quarterback, you know, you were never going to beat them anyway. But you can't lose to Kentucky. And you definitely can't lose by 27 points at home.
I mean, when it comes to just trying to pass it against Georgia, I mean, you got to remember, and I'll even take out sacks in this conversation, but we had less than 50 yards rushing for a team.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, I mean, you can't run the ball.
No.
You got to try to do something. I don't mean that's getting past happy.
I'd also say, though, in the second half, like, ideally, and I mean, we talk about this with Derrick Henry all the time, like, he kind of gets better as the game goes on. You've worn down opposing defensive lines. Yeah, maybe you haven't popped a big one or run it well, but it's one of those things, like, you can't get away from it too early.
But they weren't getting worn down because we weren't able to sustain drives. The reason our defense
No, I understand that, but then when you throw them the ball or put it on the ground and they pick it up, like, that's the problem. Because I'm with you. Like, I think if you just punt three times instead of turning it over and force Georgia's offense to go the length of the field, like, you're in a much better spot.
Yeah, yeah. I just think it was the length or the lack of length that our drives had. It was a 30-second drive, second play we fumbled it. A 1-minute drive, second play, or like fourth play we fumbled it type deal. Like, we were giving the ball away way too quick, and our defense was having to go back out there.
I agree. That's why I'm saying, if you just, even if you don't gain but a yard a carry, you run it three times and punt. Like, the defense had played pretty well against Georgia's offense up to that point. Like, I'm okay with seeing if you can force Stetson Bennett to make those mistakes.
That's fair.
JG made.
I don't know if we had the ability, especially with the way our drives are going, to wear them down. Like,
I hear you.
We were just, it was three and out, and I don't know if a three and out, unless we can get the ball back quickly and get their defense back on the field, there's no way to wear them down with only three plays.
Yeah, I was looking that up, and you mentioned it as far as having three plays. Of the eight drives that Tennessee's offense had against Georgia in the second half, five of those were three plays or less.
Well, yeah, three of them were turnovers on, like, first or second down, right? That'll hurt.
I mean,
So then we had two other three and outs, correct?
Because
we had three turnovers, two three and outs, and then, I think the longest drive of the second half was the one that ended the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was 12 plays, 42 minutes, or 42 yards, not 42 minutes.
That would have been incredible to do that in the second half.
But, like, we knew going into the game that their rush defense was there. Like, they were averaging 58 yards per game,
right,
allowing rushing. So, like, we knew that was their aspect of, like, their defense. Like, that was their stronghold of their defense. So maybe that's why we try to throw on them more compared to the other teams. Like, going into Kentucky, I feel like we kind of knew, especially based off of the Mississippi State game, and we didn't really know that much about if it was Mississippi State being bad or Kentucky being good, but we knew that their pass defense was better than their rush defense.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that played out, but once you get down that much that early, like, you have to throw your way back into the game.
Yeah.
Then you don't trust your quarterback because he's already thrown two pick sixes and put the ball on the ground. Like, it was a nightmare. So I'm just saying, like, what should the game plan, regardless of who the quarterback is, like, what does the game plan against Arkansas need to be? Like, this feels like, just based on what we've seen, if I'm Tennessee, this is a game I want to run the ball, play good defense, not get too crazy in the pass game, and just probably, much like we hoped we would do against Kentucky, just win kind of a, 23-17, 23-20 type game.
I would be fine with 14-10.
Oh, yeah. I'm just, like, it's not going to be exciting, but I don't think you can go into games with JG at quarterback and say, yep, this is going to be a game where we throw it 40 times and he lights them up. Yeah, he might make some mistakes, but we're going to put points up. This doesn't feel like that game. That's a really good defense. They're opportunistic.
And I don't think Felipe Franks is going to like be able to score 20 plus or 30 plus points. Like, it's going to be their defense that has to win them that ball. Like, I mean, it really has to be us, actually.
Yeah, like their offense is good. I mean, it's not elite. It's not Bama. It's not even Georgia level. And if Tennessee's defense can kind of just be solid, I think you can be in this game. Obviously, it's kind of like what I said against South Carolina and Missouri. Like, if you can steal a touchdown, you know, a Henry T pick six, fumble return for a touchdown, punt return for a touchdown, that's ideal. But what I would hate is that you come out against Arkansas and what happened against Kentucky happens. Like, oh, we're just going to throw it because that's where they're not weak in the secondary. Neither was Kentucky. So I don't know if that was we just think we're better than them, so we're going to throw it all over the place. If Tennessee comes out and just wants to run the ball 50 times against Kentucky, they probably win that game. It's not flashy, it's not exciting, but that's how you don't lose to Kentucky. You lose to Kentucky when you try to pick on their secondary that's actually pretty good, and your quarterback goes stupid.
Felipe Franks' first career win was against the Vols.
Okay. Anything else for that stat, or is that it?
I'd like to just leave it there.
Who was his first win in high school against?
I don't know.
Well, I thought this doesn't. Do these not matter? You made that sound like it mattered.
Who's going to be his first win in the NFL?
I don't know. I mean, it's just the thing of some guys, like,
you never forget your first.
Yeah. It's like, oh, this was easy last time. I mean, hell, I just had to throw the ball up to Tyree Cleveland. He caught it in the end zone. We won. Like,
it wasn't easy. I mean, it was a tight game. It was tied.
It's a far throw.
He did chuck it a damn mile.
It's hard.
We'll hit a break. Come back after this. It's 3 and Out on Fan Run Radio. Can we run those? Welcome back to the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. Davey Downer with the stat of the day as we went to break. I know some people just texted and tweeted about your overwhelmingly positive an optimistic outlook.
Houston, I like your necklace.
Thanks, man. I earned this.
Champion.
I earned this bad boy. One chip challenge champion.
I'm going to need that back after the show.
Did you see my time? How long I went before having any milk or cookies or anything?
Did you beat Nate?
Nate made it 3.5 minutes. I made it 36 minutes and 45 seconds.
Wow.
I could have gone longer. I was out there talking to Alex, and I just grabbed the milk and took a swig, not even thinking about it. It wasn't that bad. Should have gone for the hour. What was heavyweight? Was heavyweight like 2 or 3 hours I would have had to wait? I don't know if I could have made it.
You didn't
want to
be fat, did you?
No.
It was just one plus.
An hour plus was the max? Oh, I totally should have just done it.
Well, I guess it's the highest level that they give.
Oh, I blew it.
Right,
you could
probably tweet at them and be like, hey, what happens if I make it 5 hours? What do I get there? Or something like that.
Champion of the world.
I'm impressed, man. I would have died. Like, I ate the Cool Ranch and coughed. So
yeah, you did. It was like a spicy Cool Ranch, and Will was. It's a mean mother. I'll say that. It's a ruthless beast.
How was after the show? How was the post game? The come down, if you will.
It was fine. Like, the stomach hurt for a little bit, but not nearly as bad as Nate and Chance said. I ate some bread and some milk before just to have something on my stomach. I think that was the game changer.
You only had bread and milk?
Yeah.
The most boring cereal of all time.
Right, but I just needed something on my stomach to absorb the heat once I ingested the chip.
Shouldn't we thank Felipe Franks? I mean, wasn't that ultimately what spiraled the balls into losing to where we got rid of Butch?
Yeah. Probably.
So I don't feel like my comment was too much of a downer.
I do wonder what happens if you win that game. Like, does Butch salvage the season and win, like, 8?
Is he still coaching?
Mm-mm. Nah, he wouldn't still be here. But he might have made it to 18. Then who knows what happens, really. Because, I mean, you think about that season. Almost lost to Georgia Tech 1. Probably could have and should have beaten Florida, if not for the Hail Mary. You had a touchdown pass to the end zone, I think his time expired, to beat South Carolina, that went off the hands of Brandon Johnson.
That was the first time in my life I ever pulled against the Vols.
Should have beat Kentucky, or could have beat Kentucky. You were a yard short on a Hail Mary there, Jeff George.
I remember I was at the, I think I was in Section V.
Not Jeff George.
I remember watching JG throw that ball, and I was like, oh, please be incomplete, please be incomplete.
Which game?
South Carolina.
Man, that's brutal. We go to T-Carp on the G3 Help Me Hotline.
South Carolina showed up with the Keep Butch shirts.
I think those were Tennessee fans. I think that rumor got debunked. But even then, it was still kind of smart. That was a double con, really. Not bad. T-Carp, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, guys. Y'all all right?
No.
Hanging in there. Davey's, typical Davey.
But if it were different, I would be a little worried. Like, I'd drive over to the station and be like, is he okay? If he doesn't act like this, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, if Davey comes in and is overly optimistic, I feel like that's what's the one thing you would tweet if you were kidnapped and needed to let people know without letting them know that you were in severe danger? Davey would just come in and be incredibly positive.
Who are you and what have you done with my Davey?
Good morning. Hey, I like Davey knows I love him. Davey knows him.
There's one.
Anyway, exactly. All right, I was hearing a few days ago that Chaney in practice was cheering the defense to hit the quarterback. That was the rumor flying. What do we think about this? Like,
who is the quarterback?
Yeah, who?
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point.
Hit him, please. Harder.
Where's like, Batuli when you need him?
Right. What about what if it was Garantana? Like, is there disdain between coaching staffs, like the offensive defensive staff, and is there kind of like a little bit of a broken marriage here?
I don't think so. I don't think it's offense and defense. I think it might be offensive coaches and the head coach, maybe.
Guys, if Garantano comes out for Arkansas, if that happens for me, I'm out this season. Seriously,
What if you win? What if you play JG against Arkansas and he wins?
That would be the worst thing that could happen.
Winning?
Yes.
Interesting.
Okay. He goes out there and wins against Arkansas, and he does halfway decent, and you have this crap again next year, man.
I don't think there's any way he's your starting quarterback in 21. I think he can go 5-0 down the stretch, and I still don't think it's possible.
Houston, I think you're a little naive.
I think there's no way we don't cut the cord at the end of this season if we haven't done it already.
Okay, I will make you a $1 bet.
$1.
Okay. $1 bet.
Okay.
If Garantano, I don't care if he doesn't start, or if he starts and he starts winning a decent amount of games, let's say two or three games down this stretch, and as a starter, he will come back next year and be your starter. I will bet you one crisp brand new dollar bill.
You're on.
Okay. It's on.
It's a bet.
I really hope it doesn't happen. I hope Bailey's your starter or Maurer's your starter.
Yeah, me too. I want that dollar.
I think Janie will put up a big fit if that's the case. Like, I think you will actually have Jim Chaney start to become vocal at
revolt.
A certain point.
Yeah,
he's mutiny. Like, listen, if you're giving me this guy again, like, I'm just walking away.
Right.
That won't actually happen, but I've heard Jim Chaney wants a new quarterback.
Why can't he do it? Or is it literally Pruitt saying, you will put this guy in?
He might be the best guy.
It's frustrating, though, because, I mean, you go out and you pay Chaney all this money to let him run the offense, and yet you won't let him run the offense if that is the case.
Yeah, and I don't know
that's
that.
That's what I'm
scared of. Know that.
Yeah.
I know you guys have sources. Any word that's the case, or is it just the 3rd-and-8 draw cry for help that we saw against Alabama?
Trey Wallace said on the drive, I believe earlier this week, that Jarrett Garantano has essentially been informed that he will not be the starting quarterback in 2021.
Okay.
That this is going to be his last year here. If he wants to transfer and play someone else, they're going to help him, but that they plan to move on and start either Maurer, Bailey, or Salter in 21.
Hopefully I get to pay you that dollar.
Yeah, I really wish you would have been up in the money department a little bit, you know, maybe like a hundy, but
no. Yeah, I mean, you know where I work. I don't have that much money.
Yeah, I know where you work, and I know that business can be pretty profitable.
Well, I do have, you know how much I pay in daycare.
Fair enough. So there it all goes. All the money, the millions that T-Carp makes all go to daycare.
There you can go. Well, guys, thank y'all for your time. Y'all be good. Have a good morning. Cheer up, Davey. Everything will be all good.
Thanks, T-Carp.
I appreciate the phone call. I guess, try and work on that.
Yeah, stew on that for a little bit and see if we can.
If I wasn't sick, I'd feel pretty good. I'm going after the show to, I guess, my happy place from a food standpoint.
No, you're going
maybe to try to.
LT?
No.
Oh.
No.
McDonald's?
What's your happy place from a food standpoint? I thought it was Little Tokyo.
I do, but I do like that place a lot, but
I feel like I know you, and now I feel like I don't know you.
You gotta cut the check.
Are you going home? Are you cooking for yourself tonight, David?
No.
Okay.
No.
Maybe we can unpack this mystery during the break, because I'm very confused. I've never heard you. I don't think you've ever even mentioned another place other than LT. This is wild.
I mentioned a wing restaurant before.
Is that it?
Mm-mm.
Oh,
no.
So the two that you've mentioned that you love is not your happy place.
They can be, but not today.
Okay. Good to know. Fantastic. We're going to take a quick break. Come back. I guess we should look at tonight's NFL game, the NFL slate, the SEC slate. I do want to, at some point, talk about this Big Ten mess that is unfolding exactly as I predicted it would, because they are a bunch of idiots. That and more next on 3 Now. Hour 2 rolls on, 3 and out in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. NFL football returns tonight. I love it when they do this. It's on Fox and the NFL Network, which I am thankful for. Atlanta at Carolina, 8:20 p.m. Falcons 1-6. Panthers 3-4, but they're not bad. Panthers pretty good. Is McCaffrey back tonight? Davey, is he a questionable?
Okay, the Panthers have until 4 p.m. today to actually activate him. He's on the IR with a designation to return, so they got till 4 p.m. to allow him to come back and be active for tonight. I hope he does not play. Have Mike Davis, and I need one more week because I have three other running backs on bye. So
wow,
yeah. So, but that's me.
Pretty selfish.
That's me just thinking of Christian McCaffrey's long-term health, making sure he's fully 100% back before they try to rush him out there.
Good human Davey.
What?
Good human Davey.
Good human Davey.
I will say, though, that the McCaffrey family, they are fun to watch play football. The whole family. I won't
disagree with that.
His dad played. His mom apparently,
was a cold gymnast, right?
I thought she was a track star.
Maybe that's what
I thought. That was his grandpa was a track star.
I don't know. They say his mom's the most athletic person in the family, though.
I could see that.
That seems like they're just trying to make her feel good.
I don't know. All the kids are fast.
Well, it can't be true.
I mean, I'm not saying it can't be true, but when you look at the level of athlete that's coming from that family, the mom's.
Wow. I mean she created.
I thought you were the most woke of us all.
Oh, that's where you're wrong, comrade.
Interesting. Interesting.
Let's see here.
One of them's really good at playing the piano. I think that's Christian.
Interesting.
Oh, his mom was a soccer star.
Soccer.
We were all wrong.
Yeah, we were way off.
But if she's like that insane athlete you're talking about, she probably
I didn't say what she was. I said I thought the grandfather was a track star.
She's a strong woman. But if she's that great of an athlete, she probably played all the sports we talked about.
At some point or another. Right. So, Davey wants McCaffrey out. Fantasy owners around the country beg to differ. Couple of pretty nice games on Sunday. Pittsburgh at Baltimore, CBS 1 p.m. Ooh, I guess we'll see who's for real in that one.
I did want to say the over last I checked was at, or the over under was at 50.5, maybe 51, depending on where you get it. My bookie, I got in at 51 for the Falcons Panthers tonight. I'm expecting that one to hit the over.
Think it's high scoring affair?
Yeah. Thursday night games, I don't think
they're usually sloppy one way or the other, like super high scoring because the defenses are bad or the offenses stink. And but I don't know, Atlanta's defense is terrible, and actually since they fired Dan Quinn, the offense has looked a little bit better. Carolina without McCaffrey, that's a tough one. But Bridgewater's played okay this year. I think this will be a high scoring game.
I think they're 3-1 or 3-2 now without McCaffrey. They started 3-0. They've dropped two straight, but they've played two pretty decent teams.
Wait, they started 3-0?
No, I think you got that backwards. I think they started 0-2 and they've won three straight.
That's what I said. They once they lost McCaffrey,
they started to win.
That's what I said.
They're 3-4 overall, so I don't know if any of these numbers actually add up.
I said they went 3-1 or 3-2 without McCaffrey so far.
Okay.
Started 3-0 without McCaffrey is what I meant to say.
Gotcha. Okay, that
they started 3-0 as soon as McCaffrey.
They went 3-0 once McCaffrey was out. Started 3-0 implies started.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
That's hard to do with you. Is Pittsburgh at Baltimore the game of the weekend?
I don't know what other games are on the slate, but that's.
I mean, at 6-0 Pittsburgh, at 5-1 Baltimore. Baltimore's only lost to the Chiefs. The Chiefs are hosting the Jets.
Yeah, it's. I would say it's definitely the game of the weekend. I'm also. I think it'll be funny. It's going to suck, but I'm actually looking forward to the Cowboys versus the Eagles.
Because that's Sunday night football.
NFC East.
Both those games have very, very big implications in their respective divisions.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like whoever wins that the NFC East matchup is going to be leading the
East. If you're talking just about standings, those two games are huge. Mm-hmm. The hard part is that even after Dallas and Philadelphia play, the combined win total will be less than both Pittsburgh and Baltimore.
Oh, yeah, no, I can't wait for the takes. I'm going to be the first to say it when the playoff picture comes out and there's a below 500 team in a four slot because they're coming from the NFC East, and you have teams like from the NFC West where the Seahawks, the Rams, the Cardinals, the 49ers are all good teams. You have like the North where they have, I mean, the Lions are going to go on a run. The Lions have an easy schedule down the stretch. They're going to go on a run and look like a playoff team as well. That's three teams, including the Bears and Packers, that could come out of there. And then the
hope the Lions beat the Colts this weekend.
The NFC South is also stacked. I mean, we just talked about Carolina being pretty average and like could make a run, but I mean, you also have the Saints and the Buccaneers in that division. Like the NFC is stacked everywhere but the NFC East. So I can't wait for the takes of saying there should be three teams from one division instead of any NFC East team.
I wouldn't say stacked. I think the NFC West is head and shoulders above the rest.
NFC West is stacked.
The NFC North outside of the Packers, I don't know if you have another team make the playoffs.
The Bears are good, man.
Bears are 5-2.
I don't know. I'm not willing to crown them yet. Like their offense
decent.
Struggles. They do have a good,
they have
defense,
a good defense.
But like I just they are doing better.
I mean, the worst team right now in the NFC West is the 49ers at 4-3. Every team in the NFC West right now has a plus point differential of at least 31. Like they're kind of eating each other so far, but I mean, that's a really, really good division right now. Unlike the NFC East, where all teams have a negative point differential of at least 32.
They're kind of eating each other, too, though.
As is everybody else that plays the NFC East. The good thing if you're an NFC East team playing an NFC East team is one of you has to win the game. And if you do, like you said, it's going to vault you right up there in the standings.
My bookie still has not set a line for the Eagles-Cowboys game, which is kind of frustrating.
Why is that? Do we think they're waiting on quarterback news from Dallas or waiting to see who all Dallas cuts and trades for this
I'm
week?
I'm assuming, well, Dallas just cut
Dontari Poe.
And,
they said he was fat.
Worley for the cornerback position. I think it's Daryl Worley.
Daryl Worley, yes.
Yeah,
they said Poe has not played well and he's out of shape, so he got the boot. It's a fire sale in Dallas. They are awful. Mike McCarthy, horrible, horrible hire. I don't know at this point. Like I don't even know what Dallas's direction is if they make a coaching move.
Did you see Mike Nolan get sauce in his eye?
As if they needed insult added to injury. Yeah, the defensive coordinator, supposed to do a press conference, was eating, I guess, a burrito, put some Tabasco on it, got the Tabasco on his finger, eye itched, scratched eye. Couldn't do the press conference because he poured hot sauce in his own eye.
I was kind of hoping you were going to recreate that yesterday.
Wow. If I had done that with that chip, like you think about Tabasco, right? A little spicy, but good.
Very vinegary.
If I had done that with that chip, I legitimately
could have gone blind.
Yeah, I mean, like it's the hottest pepper in the world. Like, it would have been awful. You wanted me to do that?
No, I mean,
I was scared. I didn't have gloves.
Listen, man, I didn't necessarily want you to touch your eye and hurt yourself.
You literally
or
just
whatever.
Said I wanted you
but
to.
But I wanted you
that.
To recreate that scenario where, as like a joke, you're like. Fake touch your eye and be like, haha, I'm Mike Nolan.
Oh.
Like, that seems like something up your comedy alley.
What's the what's Mike Golick's son's name? Is it Mike Jr.?
Mike Golick Jr.,
yeah.
He did that with the chip challenge.
He touched his face?
Yeah. He had his glove. He ate the chip. I started the water.
How do you not just
it.
Take the gloves off? That's the first thing you do. Ask any doctor.
I agree. Nate did a great job of it. I had no glove, but I used a plastic bag that I ripped.
It's because I wasn't here to dab your sweat off.
I feel like PPE training should be at an all-time high right now.
Wait, but I didn't touch my eye.
Yeah, but I should have still been here.
No, I agree.
I should have been there for Mikey.
But you bailed.
I didn't bail.
You bailed. You said, no, you
do
said.
Do me read the text?
You said Tuesday. Yeah, I can be in every day this week. Or maybe you said maybe you said that Monday.
No, I said it Tuesday. I was here Tuesday. Okay. I wasn't here Monday.
You said I couldn't
Tuesdays
be here.
Thursdays.
Yeah, but you said I couldn't be here Monday. I can be here every day this week. And then it was like, oh, actually, I got
a
bail.
Yeah, I had class, man. I'm sorry. Mm. Do you want me to not go to school for you, Houston? Is that what you want? You want me to just completely write off my education and come here and work full time to not get paid?
You can get paid.
Oh, let's go.
Yeah, it's easy. I'll show you how.
Really?
Yeah, during the break.
Okay.
All right. Take a quick one. Back after this. Final segment, hour number two, Three and Out in the White Claw Hard Seltzer studios of Fan Run Radio. Drive safe as you head to work this morning. It's a little dicey outside.
Turn around, don't drown.
Just remember, it's rain. You've driven in it before. You can do this. I have confidence in our drivers. I got faith. What is the biggest storyline in the NFL right now? Is it that Dallas is awful? Is it that the NFC East is awful?
It's a good question. I'd say Tua is about to start in Miami.
What?
You think that's the biggest storyline in the entire NFL? That the 3-3 Dolphins are going with a rookie quarterback?
For this week?
No, I'm saying in general. Like the 10,000-foot view of the NFL.
Probably COVID situation.
Is there one this week or right
the
now?
The Texans are shut down.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Oh.
They're on a bye this week, so it's not that big of a deal.
That kind of worked out.
I'd say NFC East, probably.
Just being total junk?
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone expected them to not be good, but even when the Cowboys were healthy, still had I say healthy as in a relative term because no team is really healthy this year. They've had a bunch of opt-outs and stuff. But even when like the Cowboys still had Dak and a decently healthy offensive line, their defense still looked bad. Like
right.
The whole team.
No, he was
did
lighting it up.
Good.
He was playing amazing.
Yeah, he was on pace for like 1,600 yards or something like that, or maybe way more. And I'm doing the
yeah.
Math
it
wrong.
Was way. It was
6,000. 6,000.
I think he might have already thrown for 1,600.
Yeah, yeah, he was on pace for 6,000.
Yeah, it was like 6,000. He was killing it.
I didn't want to say 6,000 and that'd be like way too much. I didn't want to sound like an
no.
Idiot.
I think, but pace wise, I think you're right. Like it was close to that.
Well, I mean,
it was something crazy.
Ryan Fitzpatrick going back to Davey's point about Tua was on pace for. Close to 4,000 yards and 32 total touchdowns this year if you kept him in.
Are we surprised that the Dolphins are making the move after a win, a shutout win, in which Fitzpatrick actually played okay?
I mean, they did have the bye week.
True.
So,
which is poetic because that's exactly what I am hoping Tennessee uses the bye week to do is find a new quarterback.
Yeah, no, I think we've seen Fitzmagic play enough to know that the magic runs out. And I think the Dolphins are doing a smart thing by kind of getting in front of it. Let him get his four games in that normally gets him a contract and then play Tua. Because I think they knew that it's going to run out after a while. He's gonna fall off.
Yeah, with him, he's super smart, all right? I mean, went to Harvard, but
he's top five Wonderlic score of all
sure,
time.
Sure, yeah. His problem is he'll have those 5-touchdown, 400-yard games, and then he'll have the 4-interception game. He's inconsistent depending on who he's playing, and then as teams kind of figure him out as the season goes on, it just kind of melts down.
I'm really interested, and this kind of ties in the NFC East talk, just which team is going to trade for Fitzpatrick if a team trades for him. Like I think
they're not.
I wouldn't be surprised if a team from the NFC East goes for him. I mean, the Redskins, or my bad, the football team, they've had trouble with quarterback position. Obviously, Dwayne Haskins kind of being out and having the stomach bug every single day. Kyle Allen's had injury problems, and we know about Alex Smith's leg.
Yeah, it feels like Washington's the only one. Like, the Giants, well, the Giants Cowboys, are set.
Fitzpatrick is not getting traded. If you look at the history of Tua, he's coming off of a very serious injury. They've not had him out there for a substantial amount of time. If he gets hurt, they don't have anybody else. The Dolphins are still trying to make a push and get that seventh seed in the AFC.
No, he won't get traded during the season.
The Dolphins could make a serious push for the AFC East in general, though. I mean, the Bills have dropped two straight games. They've looked bad in those two games. Or not dropped two straight games. They beat the Jets. But they've looked bad three straight weeks. Dropped two straight games and then looked bad against the Jets. The Patriots look bad. The Dolphins are in second place in the AFC East. And if the Bills keep continuing to fall
Dolphins
off.
Dolphins are 3-3. They've won two straight. Now they're making the quarterback change coming off a bye week. I'm with you because the Bills, Josh Allen especially, looked lights out to start the season. He's kind of come back down to earth. What'd they kick? Was it? Six field goals?
The Bills?
Yeah. 18-10 victory?
Yeah, six field
Tyler
goals.
Tyler Bass hit. He was 6 of 8, I believe.
Correct. Yeah, 6 of 8. That's strange, considering how well Josh Allen was playing. He can't get in the end zone. Yeah.
Well, I mean, at some point you run out of field, and we know Josh Allen enjoys overthrowing receivers, so he's just throwing it out of the end zone every play.
I mean, the guy can't hit a check down because he just sails it. But he was completing, 79% through the first two or three games?
Like, oh, he was going off.
He looked lights out. But again,
also,
now,
who did they play? Do you think you could tell me, one game that they won? Like, they didn't really play any big games, any meaningful games. The one game they did play that was meaningful was the Chiefs game and the Titans game. And both those games, we know how they ended.
Yeah, they beat the Jets. They beat the Dolphins. They beat the Rams and Raiders.
Okay.
Rams are pretty good. Raiders are confusing. The Raiders have the best win in the NFL all season with their victory over the Chiefs, and then beat the Jets. Yeah, 18, or they beat the Jets 18-10. Did the Bills? But the Raiders, who they lose to last week? Won the Bucks? Was it?
It was the Bucks.
Raiders.
Yeah, the Raiders lost to the Bucks. It was the Pirate Bowl.
That's right, Pirate Bowl. Yeah.
The Patriots, though, have put out a game plan on how to stop the Raiders. If you watched the gameplay from the Raiders-Patriots game previously earlier in the season, I think it was like week 3 or something, the Patriots just double-teamed their checkdowns. They double-teamed Waller and they double-teamed Josh Jacobs and just dared Carr to throw it across the field, and he couldn't. And I would not be surprised if you see that happen the rest of the season, because the Patriots just put a blueprint out on how to stop the Raiders week 3.
What do we think about the Cam Newton experiment in New England right now?
I mean, kind of like same thing as from week 1. We know he can run. We didn't know how much he could pass, and now we know he threw three.
Well, have you seen the rumors and reports that he may be experiencing brain fog due to COVID-19 complications?
I have not seen those reports.
You haven't seen that?
No.
David, did you have any brain fog?
Brain frog.
I have not had
Ribbit?
Either, at least to my knowledge.
Brain fog nor brain frog?
Correct.
Good to know. I just wonder if New England comes out with Cam. It's something people haven't seen before. They win two of their first three and could have beaten the Seahawks if Cam can get into the end zone. Then COVID hits. I just wonder if this is, that's what they're going to do with Cam. Defenses adjust, and now he's just not very good because it's not a surprise anymore. It's not a secret anymore. But
yeah.
It's just weird to hear the brain. I mean, he was completely asymptomatic with COVID, and now I would consider brain fog. Thanks, Will.
You're welcome.
Brain fog a symptom post COVID, but he was asymptomatic.
Yeah, I mean,
like, it feels like an excuse for Cam Newton.
Yeah, and when you look at the Patriots, you look at, like, who is he throwing the ball to? They also have lost their top two running backs,
James White and Sonny Michel. That's been their problem for a few years now.
Yeah, but they had one of the greatest ever be able to throw the ball. Now you have Cam Newton, whose primarily job is to run the ball. Now him throwing the ball, the main question is to who?
Their receivers are not getting any separation. They have to run the ball.
And they are a running team, but now James White and Sonny Michel, I know for a fact one of them has been out for a while, and I know that they both struggled
to get playing
time.
It was Michel.
He
got put on IR.
Yeah, both.
But I don't know when he's coming back.
I know James White has been out questionable a bunch of weeks, so now they have Damian Harris, who's also questionable. Like, they're just running out of running backs. They're going to have to start starting Rex Burkhead like it's 2012.
It's a tough place to be. No offense to Burkhead. I'm just saying, he's no Sonny Michel. He's no James White.
No, he's not. Mm. He's Rex Burkhead.
Let's take a look at the SEC slate for the weekend. I know a lot of people are going to be all eyes on Arkansas A&M. We'll discuss that game and maybe some others that are piquing our interest while Tennessee's on bye. No risk, all reward. Next on 3 and Out.